The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Fast my good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line today. We're open line today and tomorrow. So whatever's on your mind, do get in touch by calling 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com, and you can WhatsApp as well on 166 177. I've just got to say thank you, by the way. All the people yesterday who volunteered with Beach Buddies and everyone involved in the Southern Hundred Circuit for the pre-TT meeting, of course, which starts later on this week, they did a special clean-up yesterday with the support of the race organisers. They took about an hour just cleaning the circuit up. So if you took part in that yesterday, well done to you, and I wonder what you found. Thanks for that. And thanks to Daphne Kane yesterday and Clive Callister and Dave Sowden of the Climate Change Transformation Board. I just wonder what you made of what they were talking about yesterday, where we're going to get where we're going. And also, they actually mentioned the structure of the Transformation Board, what it's there for, and the other departments that are involved. Obviously, DOI is involved, and DEFA, Environment, Food and Agriculture, is involved. The Climate Change Transformation Board. And I would, I can't wait for the Chief Minister to present their report next month at Tynwald to see where we are. Carbon neutral electricity, 97% efficiency in new builds, a ban on fossil fuel heating in new builds, 20 megawatts of renewables, an interim emissions reduction target. All that's to come with us. And any thoughts on the matter? Oh, just a quick word, actually. Daphne Kane is out today. She mentioned yesterday the electric double-decker bus was on the Isle of Man. Today, it's being trialled over on the Isle of Man's roads. It will be with us throughout TT. Chair of the Climate Change Transformation Board shared some images of the vehicle on social media. If you follow Daphne Kane on social media, Daphne says it's got a range of up to 200 miles, and the purchase of the bus now with seats that meet the Isle of Man specifications. £500,000. It comes after that Mercedes E-Sitaro single-decker was trialled earlier this year. But we've now got an electric double-decker bus. If you spot it anywhere around the Isle of Man, we'd really appreciate any snaps you've got out of it. If you want to WhatsApp the snaps to us or send them by email, we appreciate that. The UK's changed rules for overseas students and dependents. I wonder if the Isle of Man plans involve some of the 6,000 houses being filled by overseas university students and families. This is the story, I don't know whether you spotted in the newspaper today, in the Manx Independent. If you haven't got a copy, I'd suggest you go and get one. That this new university that is to be built on the Isle of Man, that's planned, this super university, and I think we're hoping to talk to the people behind it, and they'll be on Manx Radio later on today. But if you've got anything to say about that, then by all means do get in touch. And lots of messages also about the fact that no TT merchandise for sale. Do you remember Motorsport Merchandise, the Manx company that normally did it, Roy Wilson and his faithful cohort, declined to bid for the contract to run TT merchandise this year. And is there any TT merchandise actually for sale, it being the day before? Surely everybody's starting to arrive. Any TT merchandise anywhere for sale on the Isle of Man? It'd be nice if we could find it. Manx businesses that rely on incoming supplies and the timely postal service to export their products. Who's got our back on the Isle of Man, says Texter 212. I'm not hearing where this is coming from. What's the Isle of Man government doing about it? Losing next day delivery and adding an extra day to regular post will put a huge strain on Manx businesses. That's 212 Scott. Thank you for that. Economic development ministers in Jersey were writing to Royal Mail regarding the consultation to scrap their mail planes. We're in the same situation, so I wonder what it is that we're doing about that. Why is electricity cheaper in England while it's going up on the Isle of Man? I think because we make our own electricity, that's it. And most things on the Isle of Man are more expensive. But we'll find out more, and certainly this story about the fact that electricity, are we being misled over the reasons for the electricity rise? Increases to wholesale cost isn't the reason, following this review of the MUA. As residents in the UK prepare to pay less towards their energy bills, people on the Isle of Man are bracing for rate rises. So, are you ready for all this? NERA, they got this company NERA, which I think is an American consultancy company that's done it. You can expect an increase of at least 10% next year, according to a financial view by NERA. The findings were released by MU in March, as revealed by the authority, that they had debts of $451 million and would be required to increase revenue by 60% to keep up with its the Moody's rating. But we'll find out more where that's concerned. I just wonder what you think of all this. John's with us, first of all, on Man in Line. Hi, John.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Just to tell you about the TT merchandise.
Yes.
It was delivered into our depot in Skelmersdale last Friday. It arrived overnight on Saturday, and we spent Sunday and Monday order picking, and it was all delivered starting from Monday onwards. So it should be on the shelves now, I would have thought.
Okay, so just run that through by me again. This is Manx Independent Carriers in Skelmersdale. It got there last week, yeah?
Friday last week, came to us on Saturday, order picked Sunday, delivery started Monday and Tuesday.
Okay, so it's been delivered to the shops. We don't know which shops particularly. Have they got the pictures behind the grandstand now? Where are they?
I think they're going to have a picture at the grandstand, Andy, but we delivered to Manx National Heritage, to Ellen Van Puel stores, etc., etc.
Oh, I see. Right, so Manx National Heritage and Ellen Van In stores as well. All right, John.
And a few others, which I can't remember. It was all a blur, Andy.
I know, it's TT. John, I appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
No problem, Andy. Cheers.
Good to hear from you. 14 minutes past 12, so we do have some merchandise on the Isle of Man. I walked past the TT merchandise tent being set up at the grandstand this morning, says Gary. Here's hoping. Well, it's here. That's the important thing, because Manx Independent Carriers brought it. £500,000 per bus, plus maintenance, plus charging costs. How much would a new fleet to be to buy, says Wes. Thank you, 505. What's going on? There we are. Oh, Jeff says, what's going on with the Isle of Man? Every time we hear on Manx Radio, there's a report telling us we're being misled about the energy price. Our millions of money is being spent in compensation because of lies and bullying. I presume this is the Roslyn Ransom case you're referring to. We can never believe the cost of any capital project as it escalates out of control. So what's happening? You can't believe a word MHK say. This is Jeff's words, by the way. This isn't the Manx way, and we shouldn't treat people like this. Where's our Manx lifestyle gone, says Jeff. That's Jeff's thoughts. And a message that I got in that's anonymous, and I'm trying to find out who sent this. Do you know who sent this, or is it you?
Well, then I'm ringing up on behalf of my friend who's had booked to come to the Isle of Man, which has been coming since 1949, and he's been diagnosed terminally ill, and he got a ticket after the TT last year, which cost him £621, and he got me to ring the steam packet company, and they've offered £133. So I don't think it's just fair at all, isn't that? I mean, there's no way that he can come. He's diagnosed terminally very ill, and I usually come with him. So I just think it's a disgrace when they've only offered him that out of £631. Anyhow, if you get back to me, please, on this number, I'll be much more grateful. Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, but you didn't leave your number. If you could give us a call back and leave your number. So that gentleman paid £621 for a ticket on the steam packet. He's terminally ill, not coming, and they've offered him £133 in recompense. He's £479 out of pocket, and he's dying. If you are that gentleman, or if you know who that gentleman is, then please do get in touch. We'd like to hear more. Let's have a look. I know what I was going to tell you. Yesterday, Howard asked an excellent question, says Kenny, about on-street charging. The answer that Daphne Kane gave was not an answer to the question, merely a statement as to where she can charge her car. So she conveniently forgot to mention the price of her car plus depreciation, says Kenny. This was Howard talking about the fact that we don't have many charging points on the Isle of Man. Daphne Kane seemed to say that there were enough public charging points, these are, and well, she's got an electric car, so she charges her. So I mean, would you take the word of Daphne Kane, because she has an electric car, has had an electric car for a while, and she says she manages to charge all the time on public chargers, and that's fine. And I think we're getting the shape of all this with where the green future is and what the Climate Change Transformation Board are trying to do, and how it's going to impact us. I think we all accept, I think we all know, as lay people, voters, constituents and taxpayers, it's going to cost us money. It is. Because in the end, we pay it. We get the bill sent by the government. It's called taxes, and we have to pay for this. So how are we going to negotiate this? David called up yesterday and said, if we can get people trained for putting these the green energy things up, that would be great. If, as Dave Sowden said yesterday from the Climate Change Transformation Board, they're training people in Jersey. Not only are they training people, he said, but they're training the trainers in Jersey. So is that something that we should be doing here, could be doing here? When we go fossil fuel, will it be the end of the steam railway? Will it be the end of the TT? A very important point. A very important point. For the next fortnight, we're going to be the centre of the motor racing world. The road racing world looks to the Isle of Man. So what's our message going to be? And we still have never really got an answer to the question, what happened to TT0? If ever we could have displayed our green credentials, it would have been during TT with TT0. It was here for a while, seemed to do very well. It was at the middle of lots of research for universities and manufacturers, and then the TT0 just kind of sputtered to a halt. Do you remember John McGuinness going round on? This was like a ghost machine. There was no noise. But it took John McGuinness round. He did it. And we seem to be getting somewhere. So do you think we've missed a trick by not having the TT0 this time? So when we go fossil fuel, what's going to happen to the TT? And what about the steam railway? There doesn't seem to be any. It normally works that heritage events, if you like, or heritage organisations get away with it. So I'm guessing that the steam railway will still continue, but we wait and see. TT shirts on the prom. Got loads in yesterday. Local company, which should be supported by the government. Should have had them weeks back, says Anne. We had a statement in from Manx Utilities, by the way, just before midday regarding electricity. MUA has announced a reduction in the intended 6p per unit increase scheduled for the 1st of July. to 2p per unit due to the fall in wholesale energy prices. Now, the tariff from the 1st of July is now comparable with the UK Ofgem default tariff cap, with Isle of Man domestic customer charges now 10% below the GB average price, having previously been significantly below it. The tariff change means that a domestic customer using 2,900 kilowatt hours per year will see their annual cost increased from £942 to £1,003 from July this year. Previously, it would have been £1,133 down to £1,003. So we're saving £130 compared to the Ofgem UK default tariff cap just announced in the Great Britain of £1,137. So that's the moving stories. We got that statement literally 20-odd minutes ago from Manx Utilities. Dodsey's on now. Hi, Dodsey.
Hi, guys. Just touching on the TT0 thing. Yeah, it was successful when I had it on before COVID and such. But I think it would have been better to put the TT0 on the Southern 100 course. At least then you would get a lot more laps in on those bikes rather than on the TT circuit with just one lap. Maybe one and a half laps on the TT circuit if you're lucky.
Well, they could have done both, really, couldn't they? I mean, the fact is, for a few years, we were the centre of everything. You know, it's the biggest road race in the world, and to have battery bikes going round it was, and everybody noticed them because you couldn't hear the darn things.
Well, yeah, that's true. But they say that these, I think they're made by a company called Zero, and the range of their bikes is 200 odd miles. But remember, those bikes are going a lot slower compared to the batteries that are being used on the TT bikes. So yeah, I can understand that. You're only ever going to get one and a bit laps out of the batteries on the TT bikes compared to that of the other bikes that you see on the roads.
But do you remember, Dodsey, at the beginning they weren't even doing one lap, so the technology came in leaps and bounds in that short space of time.
Yeah. So again, why can't they put them on a smaller circuit, i.e. the Southern 100 circuit, and, you know, get more laps, and, you know, probably more people would buy into electric bikes, perhaps. I mean, I'm not, but...
Well, if anything, I mean, they are, you know, the TT or the TT Festival or Southern 100 or Belown could have been used as a little hotbed for research. And it's also a way, you know, if you like, of deflecting criticism of motorsport by saying, you know, we're doing TT0, we're doing motorbike racing with batteries.
Yeah, I still don't think the technology is there to have the bikes going around our circuit, to be honest.
We'll see.
I still think that the bikes are better on the Southern 100 compared to the TT, because there's not enough range for the batteries.
Okay, all right, appreciate that. Thanks for that, but right. Drive carefully, Dodsey.
Shall do.
All right, thanks for calling today. Here's Bonzo with us now. Hi, Bonzo.
Hi, yes. TT0 and such things. Now, TT0, as I remember, back in the dim and distant past, when it was introduced, what was it, 2009? I think it was.
It was. It was years ago now.
Oh, yes, I know. I mean, we even had, the Halle Orchestra were commissioned. And some people produced this piece, I think, about Net Zero, and it was performed at by the Halle in the marina.
Yeah.
You know, sort of art. Net Zero future, whatever. But the thing was that Zero was supposed to be a global series, I think. Certainly a European and American series, because I think they still have some sort of Zero series in America.
Yeah.
But that kind of fell through, so that TT0 was essentially sponsored, I think, by SES, you know, the SATCOM and Space Launch people.
Yes, yeah.
And so when they moved out of the island, the sponsorship went. so no sponsorship was taken up.
Well, I think the official position is that it's on hiatus at the moment. So I don't think it's officially, the door's not officially being closed. It just seems that there's no interest in it.
Well, yes, there's no sponsorship, so yes, it's on hiatus. But, I mean, racing improves the breed, as has always been the case with the Isle of Man TT. You know, the thing was, if your bike can survive the TT, then it's good enough for you to buy. You know, and that was the major selling point of the TT for motorcycle manufacturers to go in for it.
Well, it's why Honda was based in Onken for years, wasn't it, from the 50s?
Yeah. So, no, and as we can see, or as we saw, you know, in the 10 years, you were getting, you know, past Manx Grand Prix winning speeds. No, in the first 2009 one, I think the winner came in at about an average lap time, or speed, should I say, of 84-85 miles an hour, something like that.
Yeah.
And by the last race, I think it was 123.
Yeah, I think Michael Rutter broke the, he got the fastest lap, I think, on an electric bike.
But as goes the Southern 100 and stuff, I thought that there was a class in the Southern 100 whereby electric bikes or alternate fuel bikes could actually compete in the race with, alongside internal combustion bikes.
Is that still going?
What, that particular race?
Yeah, so alternative fuel bikes can take part in that?
I'm not sure, but I seem to recall it in the past couple of years.
In terms of PR, do you think it would be good to bring it back?
Oh yes, I think it would be a useful thing to do. I mean, certainly a discreet race in the in the Southern 100 for a kickoff. But certainly the progress I think that there's been in electric bikes nowadays, we could be looking at a 2-lap race quite easily, I think, for a TT0 back on the mountain course.
Good. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate that. I want to go to John, who's with us now. Hi, John.
Hello. First of my 1 year. Very busy yesterday. I was at the end of the queue and fell off. Fell off the queue, but never mind. I'd like to talk about the climate change, whatever. But just briefly on electric bikes, electric buses, electric cars. They all have the same characteristics. They're heavy and they're short range and they're expensive. I do remember when the battery bikes were in the TT. One of the riders said, yeah, you've got to get used to the fact, he says, that one of the things you've got to get used to is that it's 100 kilograms heavier than a normal race bike. So that
100 kilograms heavier?
Yes, yeah. 100 kilograms heavier than a race bike. That's what the man said. And that's what he had to get used to, to get it round corners and that sort of thing and change direction.
Much damage do you think this big new electric double-decker bus we've got, how much damage would that be? Surely they've worked out and mitigate any sort of damage that will be done to roads by, the bus. Surely, I don't know for a fact, but it surely must be heavier than a normal double-decker bus.
Well, a chum of mine just bought an electric minibus, and I actually happen to have a modest camper of about the same size, and my modest camper, even with a 2.5 litre engine, weighs just over 2 tons. His electric minibus, like I say, is about the same size, weighs in at 3 tons. I looked it up. Yes, as you and it rankled that he had on his tax disc 0.
Well, surely that isn't going to go on. Surely at some point, if the left hand doesn't get you, the right hand will. Surely the government's going to start charging EV car owners a reasonable amount of road tax now. Sorry, road fund licence.
One would hope so. That's, we haven't heard anything about that yet. Anyway, about yesterday.
Yeah.
It's what you'd expect. Lots of propaganda. Lots of untruths as well, shall we say. We mentioned climate impact. Well, we've got to do this because of climate impacts, which are already happening. I'm afraid this is not true. There has been no increase. It comes down to the data. You can have an opinion, or you can have an opinion with data. If you're just having an opinion, then it's just an opinion. If you've got the data, then it's worth listening to. There's no detectable impact in the climate records due to extra greenhouse gases. Any effect is lost in the noise of natural variability. And this includes hurricanes, tornadoes, rainfall, droughts, floods, and sea level rise. We get the weather is the way it is because it's the result of a chaotic interaction between the sea and the atmosphere, which is why we get different weather. And as for the dreaded carbon dioxide greenhouse gas, the science tells us that it should be warming the upper atmosphere if it is acting as a greenhouse gas. This happened up to about 1999. And then since 1999, there has been little or no warming of the upper atmosphere, even though carbon dioxide has been increasing. And it's also well known scientifically that carbon dioxide has It has a diminishing effect as its concentration goes up. So that is actually what I'd expect. It at small lower concentrations, it certainly did have some kind of effect on the climate, but it hasn't since around 1999.
I think one thing we certainly can't get away from, John, is without carbon dioxide, if there were no carbon dioxide, there would be no people, because
we'd be dead.
We need carbon dioxide is an essential, it's a fundamental, a pivotal, it's a fulcrum of photosynthesis. No carbon dioxide, nothing green would grow if we didn't have carbon dioxide. It's one of those things that we have, and of course, breathe too much of it, like anything, and you're in real trouble. But the thing is that we are in, I mean, there's ordinary, there's physical weather, but you know, the political weather that we're in now, John, means that the climate comes into absolutely everything. From being a scientific reality, it's now a political reality, and it's a global political reality.
Yes, it's very, very difficult to see how, even, you know, that there's many scientists around the world who present the facts and the figures. The satellite measurements, as I was talking about the upper atmosphere over the last 43 years, it's showing a rise of around 0.13 to 0.14 degrees C per decade. This is published by the University of Alabama and also by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, as it's known. That means that from now until 2100, the temperature, the atmospheric temperature, will rise just over 1 degree.
Okay, so John, just tell me what's your response then? Because there will be people listening to you right now who are saying, John, you're a flat earther, you're behind the curve, and you'll be on the wrong side of everything. That this is definitely going to happen. What would you say to them?
I don't know whether it's the political or the scientific.
Lots of people believe in the climate change emergency, the crisis, and what have you, and So what would you say? I mean, people would say, you know, that you seem not to believe this. You seem to think that there is no, there won't be any problem. But so, lots of people believe that there is a problem. What would you say to them?
I'm afraid they're being very badly informed. There's huge amounts of propaganda put out by various agencies, by newspapers, by pundits, by people who are making lots of money out of it, and by politicians with an agenda.
Okay.
And my opinions don't matter. What I believe doesn't matter. It's the data that matters, and the data is telling us that there is not a crisis, let alone an emergency.
Okay, all right, John. I appreciate your call. Thanks for calling today. It's 24 minutes before one. I was tempted yesterday when they were talking about the fact that we were going to have wind turbines on the Isle of Man. We're talking about this now for 30-odd years and more. And in the context of it being a climate crisis and a climate emergency, we don't seem to be doing much about it.
Crossroads Isle of Man.
The Crossroads Manx Workshop helps islanders with disabilities and health conditions, providing paid employment, making a range of high-quality products. From benches and shelves to cabinets and tables, our team also work on custom projects, such as engraving and company seals. Pop into our workshop in Douglas.
Crossroads Isle of Man.
Visit crossroadsiom.org.
These days, time is a precious commodity. It's difficult to balance work, life and play, but enjoying quality rest and relaxation is essential for our overall well-being. We need downtime, time for ourselves, time for stressless. At Millichaps of Ramsey, most stressless recliners come in multiple sizes, so you're sure to find the perfect fit. Relax your body, free your mind, and discover the ultimate in comfort in the stressless studio at Millichaps.
It's the King Spa's 5th birthday, and with some amazing celebratory offers, we'll make you feel like royalty. Our unique new VIP card will let you celebrate our birthday year in style, with prestige access and a range of events, wellness weekday spas, afternoon teas and priority lunch bookings on Wednesdays and Fridays. Visit kingspa.im for all the details. The King Spa, King Edward Golf Club, Onchan, celebrating 5 years of wellness.
Divorce can be intimidating when you share so much with your spouse. Property, pension, children, perhaps you share a business or have assets in more than one country. You need a lawyer with experience in settling all these issues effectively. Simcox Advocates will represent your interests with strength, skill and compassion, in and out of court. You want Simcox on your side. Simcox Advocates, advising businesses and families since 1949. Visit simcox.com.
Who's the king? Work it out and you could win an amazing prize from the King Spa in Onchan. From Monday to Friday, we're celebrating the King Spa's 5th birthday in style, with some great prizes to be won. Check out the image on manxradio.com and fill in the competition entry form to get into the draw. Then be listening at 5 p.m. on Friday to see if you're our weekly winner. Don't miss your chance to be treated like royalty. Who's the king? Every weekday with the King Spa Onchan and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Faster Mike, good afternoon. Thanks for dropping by today. 21 minutes before one. Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
I like your previous caller there, Andy. He was good, wasn't he? How was your vitamin D today?
It's all right, actually. I think I took my supplement this morning. Aren't mushrooms good for vitamin D, apparently?
Is that the magic ones or the normal ones?
They used to be very popular around Douglas Head, so I'm told.
There was a lot of things that was popular around Douglas Head, but we won't go into that.
Say that again.
Did you hear anything about the meeting last night? Oh, I believe there was a presentation on down at the church on the promenade about electric vehicles.
No, I didn't. Did you go?
I didn't. No, no. I was doing other things last night, but I heard there was about 50 people in. I'm just wondering if anyone that's listening was there. And I heard there was some good topics brought up, and it was interesting. I don't know whether there's any of the people listening who can give us any enlightenment on it.
If anybody knows anything about it, then do get in touch.
There you go, yeah. Just a bit of housekeeping. I don't normally like to come on four times in a week. You know, Bonzo will be complaining. But a bit of housekeeping on yesterday. You've had a couple of MHKs on this week. So, and I just find I keep asking certain questions, and it's like trying to swim or navigate through treacle, isn't it? Trying to get an answer out of some of these politicians. They're well versed in diverting the subjects. And I noticed there yesterday, we asked the question, I think Clive Collister answered the question about wind turbines on Ireland. And he said, definitely not. And Daphne's euphoria from your video that I could see off the screen, seems she was happy with that. I have to ask myself the question then, as you gave a programme over to John Curtis the other week, whose company EnergyView.com, who's based in Albert Street and linked to another company in Aberdeen, quite clearly on their EnergyView.com, if you go onto the YouTube and the walkthrough, quite clearly shows a massive amount of wind turbines going down through the Isle of Man. So the question I ask is, why is this there when we have conflicting views? I think the man with the Russian coloured tie on said there was going to be some wind turbines. We've got a guy there with a website that says there's going to be 59 wind turbines, and we've got another set of people that are saying there isn't.
Well, so, everybody is. I mean, certainly I think Mike Prophet was on social media, I think, last week, talking about the fact that he's involved with a company that wants to put 100 mini turbines on the Isle of Man. So different business people. I mean, John Curtis is a businessman. He's in business to make money. He just happens to know the energy sector inside out, and presumably he knows that there's money in the net zero agenda, and that there are opportunities for, and that's what business is about, isn't it? Taking advantage of opportunities, supply and demand.
Follow the money. Yeah. Follow the money.
But I mean that's there's nothing sinister about that. We live in a capitalist society.
What's sinister about it, Andy, is when you actually try and make laws to make people do that. Now you're not a capitalist society anymore, you're a communist society. There's a slight difference there. And people are trying to make laws impactive here for this to go along with. Yeah. Now we're talking about a slightly different thing. Now, if we look at following the money trail, and we look at all the scare tactics that have gone down through the years, let's take Al Gore, for example, who started off with, I think, a £1.2 million fortune, and after his wind turbines and hedge funds into all this stuff, ended up with £400 million fortune. So let's follow the money trail with these people who put these scare tactics in place. Let's go on to John Kerry's grandson and all the antics that they've been getting up to in the Ukraine. So there is money to be made, illegally or illegally. The thing that I'm saying here is these people are wanting to change our whole aspect of living.
Yeah.
And is it for real, or is it just someone who's going to make money? And quite clearly what you've said before, John Curtis is a businessman.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, this will always happen when societal, and we have had societal change in the past. Lots of things have changed in the way our society. I mean, it's now very difficult to make money running nightclubs on the Isle of Man and elsewhere. Simple reason, you can buy alcohol in just about every supermarket, and pubs are open late. Now, that's affected a certain sector of the business world adversely, because, you know, we used to have maybe a dozen nightclubs on the Isle of Man, Juan. Now there are, what, three or four? And that was because of societal change. That's happened. So things happen all the time. I think what I'm trying to do is get to the bottom of it, get as many opinions as possible, and let people make their own mind up.
I totally agree, and hence what I said yesterday. It'd be nice for these people to accept an invitation to come to the table with people who have, an opposing view, and let the people of the Isle of Man decide, because what they're talking about here, if people don't realise, is a huge change in how people are living at the moment. And the question you've got to ask is, for what? Is it for a good reason, or is it just so people like John Curtis can make a lot of money? And that's the question here. When we look at the Arab report, which has been mentioned several times on this programme, and Julian's brought it up, and we look at these reports that these governments are following, not just this government, and we've got no meat and dairy in the food chain, a limited number of new clothes that you can buy a year, one flight a year, and no private vehicles. Now, this is the stuff that these people are putting out. Now, if you look at some of this stuff, it then makes sense as to where things are going, because is this whole EV thing set up to fail anyway? That would be a question, maybe, because logically, the way we're looking at it now, it can't work. I keep asking about a base load. No one gives the answer. Keep swimming through treacle to try and get an answer, not getting an answer. So is that the end agenda, that they don't want this anyway? They want poor Betty going up to ShopRite on an EV scooter and carrying her ShopRite bags back. Is that what they want? And they know that they're not going to get voted in next time if they actually say it.
Okay. Well, we'll keep on asking the questions, Julian, but thanks for calling today.
Cheers, Andy.
Good to hear from you. Here's John with us now. Hi, John. Sorry to keep you waiting, John.
Yeah, a load of rubbish. What I'm on about is the air traffic controllers down at Ronald's Way.
Yeah.
I was booked on a flight coming back on Saturday night from Manchester, supposed to take off at 6:20. We got on the aircraft, and the pilot had apologised to say that the air traffic controllers were on a coffee break from 7:30, so they couldn't take off. So we had to wait till about 7:05 so they could take off.
And then, but you took off after they'd had their coffee, presumably?
Because the flight, our flight was a 40-minute flight. It got us back in after the coffee break had finished.
Right.
Now, the only thing is, I was on special assistance, and the guy that was pushing me through was saying that he'd heard that Ryanair was thinking of buying Loganair out. If that's the case about the traffic controllers closing the airport down to have a coffee break when there's flight, you know what Ryanair are going to do. They're going to stick two fingers up to the Isle of Man, aren't they?
Well, certainly you're quite right. I think Loganair is up for sale, whether or not Ryanair buy it. And certainly, well, EasyJet, I think, are losing money at the moment with their operation. Ryanair are very cost conscious. So what would happen there? We don't know. I mean, do you think things are getting better or worse, John?
Well, I mean, what time did they have where there was no flights coming in or out to have a coffee break? Why did they have to have a coffee break when they knew that there was a flight due to land?
Well, I've got the boss of the airport coming in on Tuesday, so I'll ask him that very question, John.
That'll be brilliant, and I'll listen out to see what he says.
All right, thanks for calling today. Good to hear from you. I want to go to, let me see, we've got Ricky with us now. Hi, Ricky.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind?
Oh, good. Yeah, well, did you see on the papers this morning about the university and the special zone they want to do, the low-tax economic zone?
Yes, I've heard that, this proposal about this new university. Thousands of students.
I'm so relieved to see something like that in the papers, because my family are originally from London, and you know I'm not used to being on this island and having as much green space as we do. But when you hear places like the UK talking about doing the 12 new low tax economic zones, and I guarantee you they've not even considered putting one of them on the Isle of Man. They're most likely going to put it on in England, and it's only for England to benefit. And the fact that this HM the Soul and this project is happening on this island, I just think it's amazing, because we've got so much potential on this lovely island. And as far as I've been here, my family and my friends on the island, they say the government have never done anything about it. So it's so good to see that this project is not going to cost the taxpayer a penny, and not asking no money from the government. And this company's bringing money from institutional investors. And it's nice to see that for once, the Isle of Man can have its version of the Line or Neom. or a futuristic mega project, which is only going to help the Isle of Man grow.
Okay, we appreciate that, Ricky. Thanks for that. And hopefully we're trying to speak to the people behind this proposal of a new university, thousands of students. The whole thing looks very, very impressive. And apparently no public money involved. Ricky, thanks for calling today.
Ramsey Garden Centre is open every day over the bank holidays. And with being three times larger than last year, it is well worth a visit. New choices for indoor and out. Visit Ramsey Garden Centre on Albert Road or check out our Facebook.
Cancer Research UK's Relay for Life is back. Don't miss your chance to honour everyone who's been affected by cancer and the progress made in research. Unite with family and friends, set your team fundraising goal and join a celebration of community fundraising. Search Relay for Life Isle of Man and enter for free today. The Relay for Life, 26th August at the National Sports Centre. Your chance to help beat cancer.
This year's Stage Ed West End Summer School is going to be even more magical. Because as well as the chance to work with musical theatre pros and perform in front of family and friends, you could also land a part in Aladdin, this year's Christmas pantomime at the Villa Gaiety, in association with the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. The Stage Ed Summer School, back at Ballycommeen High School Studio Theatre, 24th to the 28th of July and 31st of July to the 6th of August, for all ages from 6 to 18. Visit stage-edholidayschools.com for details and booking. Supported by Tower Insurance and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
8 minutes before one. Mike's on now. Hi, Mike.
Hello there, Andy. Unfortunately, I missed yesterday. I might make a couple of quick points. Starting with the TTXGP, which was the very first electric bike race. What a lot of people don't know is that there was a team put in a bike which was hydrogen powered, which they reckon it was a converted 600 bike, and they reckon they would probably do two laps at a decent race speed. So immediately banned because it was too dangerous and would have made all the electric bikes look stupid. So that's that point.
I don't recall that. Did that actually happen?
No, it didn't happen. It was banned. Very few people know it. I have it on good authority from somebody who is in the know. So on that, the electric vehicle is a con. It's clean environment when you're driving along, but the actual green credentials are not that great. It's just like the diesel con. We're all told you must get a diesel. It's better for the environment. It's cheaper. Well, they've soon put the tax up on diesel once they've got people buying it. And at the time this was brought in, those of us in industry, they were trying to get rid of all the diesel forklifts, etc., because they're so carcinogenic. So it's all down to, like various other callers have said, it's all money. And it's all a con. The John before Julian, absolutely right. You look at the data. We're just being led up the garden path.
To what end, Mike? I mean, what's at the end of all this then?
Control, I think. Keeping people... I reckon we're going back 50 years to when it was... difficult to get more than one vehicle in a family. Retirement age keeps going up and up, so several of us think it'll become commonplace like it was years ago.
But surely that won't be acceptable if we don't have, you know, consummate or corresponding very easy, comfortable, free, warm, available public transport. People won't take the loss of personal transport, will they?
I don't think so, no. But will they get a choice? Will they be priced out of it? It's a simple way. Mm. And it is all big business, and we're all being conned. big time.
Okay. All right, Mike, I appreciate that. Thanks for that call, and also the tip-off about the hydrogen TT. A quick word, by the way. I've got to say hi. The message just says, can you congratulate Gemma Nettle from the Isle of Man newspapers on her new job? All the best to you, Gemma. Congratulations. And also, David Artus was the only Manx thing on Maryland. Did you see that? Man in Police on the Maryland series on ITV that concluded last night. And David Artus was the repatriation officer. The only Manx thing about it, I see. It's Betty now. Hi, Betty.
Hi, Andy. I'm just surprised that nobody's been talking about the huge debt that Manx Utility has with the electricity. And we will all have to pay extra because of it. And what can you do about it?
It never seems to go down, does it?
No, I think it's dreadful. But, I mean, does the government own the Manx Utility? I'm not sure about this. Or is it another firm that...
No, we own... it's a public entity. The government owns it. It's a board and what have you. But in essence, it's ours.
Why are they charging us extra? They should just deal with the debt and not pass it on to the people. It's just not fair.
Okay, all right. Thanks, Betty.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. And finally, I think we've got Elizabeth. Hi, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon.
All right, we've got about 30 seconds.
I know, we'll be quick. Right. Yeah, we're talking the other day about Segways, those little scooters.
Oh, the ones you used to lean forward on.
Well, I don't know if you lean forward. There's a guy passed on the pavement this morning about half past 11. He'd come from Derby Square and went right along Albert House and headed towards the museum on the pavement.
Did you mention it to him?
He flew by so quickly, so we did. I was outside talking to my friend. And also those electric bikes, my son bought one. The government did a scheme a while ago where you give you the money to buy it and then you pay them back.
Yeah.
But he only had it a matter of months and it was back in the shop. Then it was back in the shop again and it's been in and out and it's out of warranty now and he has a bike that doesn't really work, which he's going to try and fix himself. But I mean, it was 1,800, I think, these electric bikes were. But it doesn't work. It's been in and out, in and out, in and out of the shop since.
Okay. All right. Elizabeth, thanks for calling today. I take it you won't be getting an electric scooter then. That's it. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today. WINT.